Personally, I like my girls a little feisty with a backbone. A decent breeze would send her emotions scattering. This won't take long. It's about Gray. Her eyes light up curiously as she finally looks at me.
Oh?
I'm sure you're a smart girl. You know that Gray and I are very close, which is why I feel the need to say something very important. She nods more confidently, obviously unaware of who she's dealing with. I step in closer, watching the confidence leave. When I'm inches away from her, I lean down like I'm talking to a child. If you hurt him, Avery, I promise you, you'll be begging for mercy. I'll fucking destroy you in ways you can't even imagine in your worst nightmares. Do you understand? And stop playing with that disgusting thing. It's practically black, I growl, smacking her hand gently away from the bandage. Avery's eyes widen in alarm, panic crossing her features as she takes a step back.
I won't.
Good. Then we won't have a problem. Enjoy the rest of your day. I turn around, opening the door. The guard is lingering around, the rest of the crowd now gone. I tap his chest as I walk by, reminding both of them just exactly who I am and why they shouldn't fuck with me.
Chapter 18. Avery. Can I sit with you again? I ask nervously, hovering in the doorway. Theo glances up, needle between his fingers. His hard expression doesn't shift, but he motions to the corner. I step inside, closing the door behind me. After my little chat with Damon yesterday, I'm too terrified to spend free time with Gray today. I don't know how I'd hurt him, but after years of so-called insubordinate behavior towards my dad, I've learned that anything and everything is possible. So obviously, the only way to eliminate the risk is to take myself out of the equation. Thanks, I say softly, sitting down. I don't plan on bothering him or even speaking to him. I just wanted a safe space where I could avoid people and avoid being near Gray. And thankfully, with Theo's reputation, it's pretty guaranteed. The two of us sit in silence until Theo speaks finally.
I thought you'd be chewing my ear off.
I look at him, eyes lingering on his continuing tattoo briefly. I just wanted space from people today.
Are you saying I'm not a person?
He asks. Not at all, I answer quickly, worried. I just mean I don't want to be out there. Theo nods.
I'm just fucking with you. God, you need to chill out.
I manage a small smile, relaxing slightly. People don't seem to like me very much.
So fuck 'em what?
Theo mutters, piercing his skin with the needle and ink.
Just ignore them.
How? He pulls an annoyed expression.
I don't know, just do it.
How do you do it? I ask, genuinely confused that people manage to not give a shit.
I just do. I don't owe them anything, and neither do you. Let people say and think what they want.
I lean my head back against the wall. It's not that easy, especially when it's certain people. Theo looks up, pausing.
Who?
Damon. God, they should call him Demon. He's a fucking nightmare. He laughs, startling me. It's such a weird sound, not one I expect from him and his angry demeanor.
Damon is a fuckhead,
Theo says, amused.
Just keep away from him.
I will. I confirm. It's just he said something to me that really bothered me, and it's fucking with me.
And what did the big, great Damon have to say for himself?
Theo asks, going back to his ink. I shake my head, even though he doesn't see it. It doesn't matter. I just need to learn to deal with things, I guess. I barely realize I'm doing it, but I start fidgeting with the bandage again, my eyes staring at the torn, raggedy material.
What's wrong?
Wrinkling my nose in displeasure, I drop my arm. The bandage is just old, but I don't want to take it off. We fall silent, and I cringe at myself again until Theo puts the needle down on a black draw-tie velvet bag.
All right, come over here,
he says, reaching for something behind his back on the ground. I stand up, walking over. When I sit down next to him, he holds out his hand expectantly. Glancing at him confused, he reaches over and grabs my bandaged arm.
We're going to fix that,
he says, unwrapping it. What do you mean? I hastily ask. Theo reaches into a second black bag, extracting a new needle.
We're going to tattoo the scar.
I beg your pardon? I near screech, pulling my arm back.
Oh, don't be such a baby. It barely hurts. Besides, you're the one who said you wanted to get it tattooed.
I look at the new needle suspiciously. Is that why you have a second needle?
Perhaps.
He says casually, pulling out the matches and vial.
And let's face it, you're not leaving this place anytime soon. Are you just going to hide it forever? Or are you going to fix the problem?
Biting my tongue, I glare at the needle, weighing up my options. Fine, I say, slowly holding out my arm. But be gentle. He rolls his eyes but doesn't say anything, dipping the sterilized needle tip into the ink. It takes all my willpower not to move in fear when the needle moves towards me. I don't even realize I'm holding my breath in anticipation. Squeezing my eyes when the needle touches my skin, they shoot back open a few seconds later in surprise. I can't really feel that, I tell Theo, checking the new black spot on the scar.
You probably got some nerve damage. For the best, really. You're a fucking crybaby.
I grumble, annoyed. Normal people don't like pain, Theo. And for the record, I have a really good pain tolerance level. Theo raises an eyebrow at me.
Crybaby.
He continues moving the needle along my arm, weaving a design into my skin. I guess in normal circumstances, I could have picked the design. But beggars can't be choosers here. But if I end up with a dick or something etched into my arm, I'll be really pissed. About an hour into the makeshift tattooing session, the ink starts to form a pretty pattern. And surprisingly, I get it. I really, really get it. People always talk about how getting tattooed is therapeutic. I always thought they were crazy, insane to willingly go through pain. I thought the idea was to just suck it up for the sake of the art. But when people used to say they loved getting inked, I used to scoff in disbelief. But they're on to something here. While my nerves are clearly damaged, there's still some level of pain, but it feels good. I've felt so much physical pain in my life, but for once, I'm in control of this pain. And I'm turning my scar and traumatic memory into something different. I watch Theo as he focuses on my arm, his eyebrows narrowed in concentration. Besides Damon, this is the guy who everyone is afraid of, the one who puts people in the hospital, cuts off fingers, and can empty a room with one look. But here he is, helping me. I really misjudged him. And for that, I feel guilty. I guess the old saying, never judge a book by its cover, is true. Because what Theo is doing is probably the most incredible thing anyone has ever done for me. He doesn't have to tattoo me, or help me, or even let me sit with him at mealtimes. Yet, he does. It's clear his own tattoo isn't done yet, and with the limited time we get during the day for free time, and in our rooms, he's still choosing this moment to dedicate his artistic ability to me.
I think we'll leave it there today,
he says with a sigh, leaning back.
Bella's about to go, and you don't want to risk getting an infection.
Now that it's me you're worried about infection? I joke, twisting my arm to admire the ink. Theo lets out a dry laugh.
Don't get ahead of yourself. I don't need you busting down my door when it's all inflamed and hurting. And I certainly don't want moron Markle in my face asking questions.
He starts bandaging the ink, keeping it tight.
Try not to get it wet. Let it dry later. And keep an eye out for any funky colors. It will start scabbing over in a few days. Don't be alarmed.
Scab? I say, pulling a face of disgust.
Pain is beauty,
he says, putting his stuff away.
Now, off you go. I'll see you at dinner.
I don't know why, but those few short words tug at my chest. I'll see you then, I reply, standing up and heading out of the room before I can say anything embarrassing. As I approach the hall, I spot Gray heading out of the library. He instantly finds me, giving me a wink before heading into the hall. I smile to myself, following in until I'm shortly taken to my room. Fuck. I'm really sick of people breaking into my room. So much for a goddamn secure facility. There's another note on my bed when I arrive back, this time with more scribbled handwriting, but I can already tell it's not Gray's. The blood-stained lily is drawn on the corner of the paper, along with the words,
"Meeting tonight, 9 p.m. Come see me. Dead."
I blink at the last word, utterly confused and equally terrified. What the fuck do they mean by dead? Am I going to be dead? Seriously, what trouble have I caused now? I can barely breathe without finding myself in shit. Thankfully, it's Gray who comes to collect me that night, creeping into my room like some type of spy. I nearly jump out of bed in shock when he sneaks in, lunging for me. "What the fuck?" I breathe out, staring up at him as he straddles me.
"What's wrong? Did I scare you?"
Relaxing, I roll my eyes. Normal people just knock. They don't lunge and tackle people.
"I'm not most people,"
he laughs, getting off me.
"Are you ready?"
"No," I admit, but stand up anyway. "Did you bring the note here?" Gray nods, holding the door open for me like the depraved gentleman he is.
"Sure did."
"But you didn't write it," I point out, stepping into the corridor. He closes the door behind us, grabbing my hand as we walk down the hall towards the library.
"Definitely not. My handwriting is so much better than Damon's. I've got that artistic flair."
My stomach drops at his words, and Gray, sensing my anguish, pauses.
"It's nothing to be worried about. Relax, little killer."
"He said dead," I mutter, not at all reassured. Gray bursts out laughing, making me look around wildly in panic. Everyone in passing rooms will clearly hear us, and the last thing we need is to alert the guards. "It's not funny," I hiss.
"It's a little funny. You're hilarious, Avery. Come on,"
he continues, pulling me alongside him. When we enter the library, I'm surprised to find the curtains aren't up, and there's less people inside. I guess Damon wasn't kidding when he said the meetings were invite only. The tables have been set up like a boardroom table, pushed together with chairs lining the sides. Damon sits at the head of the table, eyes scanning us as we approach. He doesn't verbally acknowledge us, and I let Gray direct me to my appropriate seat. We sit down, Gray next to Damon and me on Gray's right.
"Let's begin,"
Damon says, glancing at the participants. I do a silent head count, noting there's 10 of us here. Damon at one end, Byron at the other, and 4 people on either side. Gray reaches for my hand under the table, squeezing it.
"Cirque du Mor's bi-weekly meeting is now in session. I don't need to remind you that anything discussed in this meeting is confidential. First, on our agenda is the updates for Operation Clown."
A voice across from me speaks up, and I stare at the young brunette, her dark eyes looking tired. "So far, we've managed to gain access to the camera feed room. I'm still working on the guard schedule so I can confirm who will be rostered on that day. Once I find out, I'll let you know so we can speak to them," she says, looking at Damon.
"Very good,"
he replies without glancing at her, making notes on a pad in front of him.
"Gray, updates on the Hallman situation?"
I turn to look at Gray, the topic of conversation piquing my interest.
"Hallman is out of the hospital and has requested tasks so he can have his suspension lifted. As for his girlfriend, she's out of solitary confinement. I'll be speaking with her tomorrow."
Gray is going to speak to Vivian? Is it about me? Damon looks down the table at Byron, giving a tight smile.
"Operation Ringmaster."
"Yep. List of suitable candidates in front of you."
"Great,"
Damon replies, grabbing a piece of paper. He scans it, looking at Byron with an annoyed glance.
"Jemison, really?"
Byron nods.
"I have it on good authority that he fucks like a dog. Used to be an athlete, so stamina is top notch."
My eyes widen as I try to piece together what the fuck they are talking about. Damon looks at him surprised, tucking the paper away.
"Very well. Next on the list, we need access to files."
"Files?"
Gray asks.
"We've always had access to files. Is Arthur not cooperating? Do I need to speak to him?"
Damon's face tightens.
"It's not Arthur, unfortunately. It's Christopher. He's refusing to provide access. Therefore, we're just going to take it."
My heart launches into my throat when Damon turns to me.
"Avery, we need you to steal Dr. Smith's file key during your next session tomorrow."
Chapter 19. Avery. "Sorry, what?" I stutter, looking at him in disbelief. Damon throws me an irritated stare.
There's a filing cabinet in the corner of Dr. Smith's office. He carries a key with him on his belt. We need the key. Alternatively, steal his laptop. I'm sure we can find someone to hack into it.
You want me to get you access to confidential patient files? I ask in disbelief. Gray squeezes my hand again, but this time I can tell it's a warning. Damon slams his hands on the desk, eyes narrowing at me.
Is that a problem, Avery?
Every single fiber in my body is telling me to just nod and say yes. But morally, I just can't. That's a line I don't think I can cross. The thought making me sick. I can't, I answer quietly. It's ethically an issue. I won't do it. Damon turns to look at Gray, a silent conversation between them. It's not completely unknown, though. I can see it in his eyes. He's angry. Both at me and at Gray for bringing me into this.
I'll do it,
Gray says to Damon.
No, it's her role.
I expect Gray to argue some more, but he just sighs.
Fine.
My stomach sinks with betrayal. All eyes on me as the noose is hung around my neck. Suddenly, an idea pops into my mind. How about a compromise? I offer. Maybe if you tell me which private files you need, I can just grab those. Or we can ask everyone for consent, and if there's no problem, I'll get the key. I don't know how I'll get the key. Dr. Smith isn't just going to hand it over, and if it's always attached to him, there's slim to none chance I'll get hold of it. But I'm doing my best to stop the avalanche that's flying towards me. Damon raises an eyebrow at me, slowly pushing to his feet.
I don't do compromises, Avery. You just don't seem to grasp the fact that I'm in charge here. If I tell you to do something, you do it. If I tell you to go jump off the side of the facility, you write your fucking will and do it.
My mouth falls open in panic, looking to Gray for guidance. He just nods his head at me, his eyes telling me there's little choice here. Fine, I whisper, swallowing. I'll do my best. Damon sits down.
Wonderful. Now, moving on to the next topic. Jillian, an update, please.
I don't get any sleep after the meeting, my mind racing as I try to figure out what to do. I have no choice, and before I know it, I find myself sitting in Dr. Smith's office for our session.
How was the lockdown period for you? Did you cope okay?
Giving him a brief nod, my eyes scan the room, spotting the cabinet in the corner. I can't believe I didn't really notice it before. It's a creamy beige, the metal locks mocking me with my task ahead. I quickly turn my attention back to Dr. Smith so I don't draw attention to it. It was fine, I answer in a low voice. He looks at me concerned.
You seem out of sorts today, Avery. Anything you want to talk about?
Nope, I say quickly, shaking my head. I'm fine. Dr. Smith hums in disapproval. Or concern. I'm not quite sure at this point.
Okay, well, you know this is a safe space, right? Anything you need to talk about, you may do so confidentially.
I burst out laughing, covering my face. If only he knew. Nothing appears to be confidential in this damn forsaken place, and I'm doing my best to keep it that way. But apparently, if I don't do this, I'm as good as dead. He leans back in his chair, throwing his pen and notepad down.
Avery, you stared at the filing cabinet at least 6 times already. What's on your mind?
I freeze, trying to keep my face normal. Did I really look at it that many times? I didn't even notice I was doing it. It's a nice filing cabinet, I offer, glancing at it. It's so large and beautiful. Did you custom order it? Dr. Smith lets out a laugh of disbelief.
You're a terrible liar, Avery. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. I don't think you have it in you to be dishonest. It's not in your nature. So please, tell me the real reason. I can't help you if I don't know what's going on.
You can't help me. No one can. He nods slowly, pondering my words. Finally, he clears his throat, speaking up.
You need the key.
I let out a little gasp, too stunned to believe what I just heard. There's no way he knows about that. Unfortunately, my reaction pretty much confirms it for him, his hand reaching down to his belt. He unclicks the key, holding it up.
You'd be surprised what I know about this place, Avery.
I stare skeptically as he pushes it across the desk towards me. I can't even describe the feelings rushing through me. Part of me is grateful he wants to help me, essentially saving me from Damon. Another part is shocked and disgusted that he's breaching patient confidentiality. And on that note, I feel a sense of betrayal from this authority figure, someone who I thought would keep everything a secret, no matter what. Slowly, I reach out, grabbing the key with my fingers. "Why?" I ask, my voice broken up. As much as he's saving me, he's betraying me more. My own secrets are in that file. Everything we've talked about in our sessions, even if it's not much. If I can't trust a professional psychiatrist to follow the rules and respect us all, then who can I trust? He's supposed to be a sure thing, but he's just proved he's exactly like everyone else I've ever met.
Things are not always what they seem, Avery. But I think you need to keep an open mind and stay on your guard here. It's a dangerous place. Even if sometimes it feels like an escape from what you experienced on the outside.
You're breaching people's trust, I blurt out. My trust. Dr. Smith raises his eyebrows in surprise.
You trust me now?
I thought I did, or at least that I was starting to. But now you've just proved you're no better than anyone else, I snap, standing up, clenching the key. He nods, agreeing.
Okay. I can appreciate why you feel that way. But before you go, Avery, I think there's something you need to be mindful of.
What? I ask, annoyed.
If you sense yourself getting reckless, it's a sign that you should reevaluate your surroundings.
I glare at him, irritated by the riddles and words that mean nothing to me. I don't know what you mean. And frankly, if anyone should be reevaluating their reckless behavior, it's you. Here. I snap, slamming the key down in front of Damon at lunch. He looks up at me with a bored expression before glancing down at the key.
Someone's in a mood,
he remarks, grabbing the key and pocketing it. Am I? I say through clenched teeth. Or am I just sick of assholes thinking they are better than everyone else? Damon, Gray, and Byron gawk at me with stunned, amused expressions before I turn on my heel, moving across the hall to Theo. I slam myself down into the bolted chair, crossing my arms. I didn't bother to grab any food, too mad to eat.
What's up your ass today?
Theo asks with a smirk, stabbing his fork. Don't start with me, I grumble. I'm sick of this place. Theo laughs.
You got a long time ahead of you. Chill out.
I stare at him from across the table, annoyed at him now too. Finally. I decide enough is enough, and I stand up, stomping over to a guard at the door. I need to go to my room, I tell him.
No room access allowed during mealtime. You'll have to wait,
he replies, gripping his taser in some intimidating stance. I cross my arms, lowering my voice. Actually, I need to see the doctor. You know, female problems. Unless you want to help clean up the massacre. The guard looks at me in disgust, turning to another one nearby.
I need to take her to Dr. Markle. I'll be back.
My chest flutters in victory as he leads me out of the hall. I don't actually have my period, but at this point, I'd rather deal with Twinkle Twinkle Little Star than be in the same room as any of those assholes. When we reach Dr. Markle's office, the guard knocks on the door, pushing me inside, before turning and heading back to the hall. Apparently, the idea of hanging around and dealing with female issues is a deal breaker.
Miss White. How lovely to see you,
Dr. Markle says.
Come in.
I walk over and sit up on the examination bed, looking at the pictures on the walls. I've barely noticed them before. Black and white portraits of hospitals.
What seems to be the issue?
He asks, standing in front of me. My eyes scan over him cautiously, reminding myself we can't trust professionals in here. So I just make up some bullshit excuse about period cramps and ask if I can lay here with a heat pack. He gets me set up on the bed, passing me a warmed-up heat pack and some naproxen. I'm content just laying here, seeing how much time I can buy. It turns out Dr. Markle is a sucker for women and their pain, excusing me from class and all appointments for the rest of the day. He even grants me a temporary leave pass, allowing me to stay in my room for the rest of the day. Granted, it's with the door locked, so I don't have to be supervised, but I take the win, enjoying the quiet. I skip dinner again, only leaving the room for my shower before I get settled in for bedtime. Not having much sleep the night before helps, my mind finally shutting off as I start to drift off to sleep. I'm so exhausted that I don't even wake when my door creaks open, nor do I hear the footsteps approaching me near the bed. It isn't until someone puts their hand over my mouth, startling me awake, that I realize what's going on. I scream into the hand, desperately peering into the darkness.
Shh. It's just me.
He removes his hand, and I blindly swipe at it in the dark, slapping it away. Gray, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I need you to come with me,
he says, ripping the blankets off my body. The cool air hits me, making me shiver. I'm not going anywhere, I argue, sitting up. Come back another day. Gray grabs my elbow, gently pulling me up.
Avery, I'm serious. Get up.
His serious tone stills any argument, and I wearily let him take me from the bedroom. As we approach the library, I swallow, wondering if I'm in shit for my little lunchtime performance. Gray, I start as we reach the library doors. What's going on?
Hush. We need all the privacy for this. It's a very urgent matter.
Chapter 20. Avery. Gray shoves me through the door and I stumble in a panic, eyes sprinting around once I'm inside. But the library is empty. Maybe Damon isn't here yet, or perhaps he's lurking in an aisle ready to gut me. I try to listen carefully, not hearing any sounds, but something tells me I wouldn't hear them coming.
Come here,
Gray says, linking his arm with mine and pulling me into our usual aisle. I check the aisles as we pass, noticing they are empty. I sigh in relief, the feeling only lasting for a brief second when Gray pulls out a shiv. What the fuck? I gasp, stepping back. Gray looks at me, then the shiv in his hand, confused.
It's my shiv. Do you like it? I made it.
I glance at the handle, the bulky black material seemingly made of some type of tape. There's a sharp pointed end, the silver all tainted, and I have to stop and wonder where he even found the materials to create such a weapon. But that's not important right now. I'm trapped in an aisle with a shiv-wielding Gray. I always said he wouldn't hurt me, unless I gave him a reason. Maybe Damon is that reason. Gray already proved at the meeting that he wouldn't cross him for me, and now, after what happened at lunch, maybe he sent Gray to do his dirty work, knowing I'd trust him and allow him to take me somewhere private. Though I guess on that note, why not just kill me in my room? No one would ever know until the morning, and since no one is meant to have access, how would they trace it? Unless that's how they would trace it. I guess everyone seems to know Damon and Gray do whatever the hell they want.
Little killer, calm down. I can see you practically hyperventilating.
My gaze snaps back to Gray in the shiv, laughing. I'm the killer? You're here to obviously end me.
Huh? What gave you that impression?
I point to the shiv with a look of, are you fucking serious right now? Gray looks at the shiv.
So, you don't like it? I put a lot of hard work into this thing.
Exasperated, I throw my hands up. Are you going to kill me or not? At this point, there's no use fighting it. This time, it's Gray who bursts out laughing, his body doubling over. I stare at him bewildered, questioning my own sanity at this stage.
You think I'm going to kill you?
He asks, wiping an imaginary tear away. Aren't you? Why else would you be here with that thing? I let out a little yelp as Gray pushes me back into the shelves, caging me in.
Oh, no, you got it all wrong. You'll be seeing heaven, but not like that.
What do you mean? I breathe out as he starts running his hand up my leg. Gray leans down, pushing the hair out of my face, the shiv dangerously close to my neck.
You're really stressed today. I know the perfect stress relief trick.
You're not mad? I ask in relief, barely noticing his hand reaching the side of my underwear.
Mad? Please, I'm fucking turned on. Do you have any idea how hot it was? Not only did you actually do the task, but you mouthed off at Damon. I had a hard-on for the rest of the day.
He runs his hand over the front of my underwear, everything finally clicking into place. My mind is a whirlwind of feelings, but my body is focused on one thing and one thing only. Him. As he rubs me, the fabric separating us, I realize he's gauging my reaction, waiting for the green light. I don't know what he has planned, but if it's anything like the other night, I'm ready to jump in head first. Giving him a little nod, he grins, finger sliding my underwear aside. His index finger runs the length of my pussy, teasing me.
Stop me if you need to, but I'm itching to feel you.
Do it, I whisper, closing my eyes. I can feel my breath getting ragged in anticipation, my body feeling warm as it eagerly awaits him. I feel his finger dip lower, finding my entrance, before he slowly pushes inside me. My mouth falls open and I rest my hands on his shoulders for balance, my walls squeezing around him. He pumps his finger gently inside me before adding a second one when I've adjusted. As I stretch more, I let out a small moan, squeezing his shoulders.
That's it, Avery. Feel me inside of you. God, you feel so fucking good.
My hips jolt into his hand, his palm brushing against my clit. I roll them in unison with his movements, feeling a different type of sensation building. My pussy starts to clench around him, spasming as I feel my orgasm approaching. As soon as I start to cry out, Gray slams his mouth against mine, swallowing the sounds as I ride his fingers.
Fuck.
He hisses against my lips, resting his forehead against mine.
I love listening to you come.
Carefully, he removes his fingers, bringing them to our faces. I watch with glassy eyes as he pops his middle finger into his mouth, sucking it clean. I'm mesmerized by it, the look of fulfillment as he tastes me.
You taste like heaven and hell all in one.
He muses, holding out his index finger. He brushes my bottom lip, coaxing me to open up. My lips open on their own accord, Gray's finger gliding along my tongue as I taste myself. He groans in appreciation, easing his finger back out.
You're going to be the death of me, Avery.
He mutters, leaning down to kiss me.
And I can't fucking wait.
Kissing him back, I push my body flush against him, feeling his hardness against my lower stomach. I go to reach for him, feeling adventurous, but he grabs my hand, stopping me.
Not yet. I'm not finished with you.
He lowers his other arm from next to my head, the shiv brushing against my cheek. I don't flinch this time, still feeling the buzz of my release. Gray lowers the shiv further, falling to his knees. He pushes my skirt up that I forgot to change out of after my shower, kissing my legs and my hips before pulling my underwear down my legs. I step out of them, looking down at him curiously. He gazes up at me, reaching for my leg as he gently lifts it, hooking it over his shoulder. I watch as he lifts the shiv, popping the black handle inside his mouth. As he draws it back out, he wraps his hand around the sharp blade, facing the handle towards me. It moves higher, the handle brushing against my clit as he runs it down my wet slit. I suck in a breath, holding it, as he repeats the motion a few more times before the handle disappears from my view. I silently gasp when I feel it pushing against my entrance, my pussy clenching.
Relax,
he coos, running his hand over my hip bone.
I've got you.
Nodding, I watch as he turns his attention to my pussy. He grips the blade tighter, slowly pushing the handle inside of me. My body stretches almost uncomfortably as the shiv enters. I tense up without realizing until Gray leans forward, swiping his tongue over my clit.
You've got to relax, baby girl. Because when I finally claim you with my cock, you're going to take all of me.
He pulls my clit into his mouth, his tongue swirling around. I gasp, moan, and make other ungodly sounds as my body finally releases the tension. I feel something dripping onto my bare foot, and I look down, spotting specks of blood. There's a trail of blood down Gray's arm from his grip on the blade, and when he notices too, he grins at me. He swipes his index and middle fingers through the trail of blood on his arm, wiping two lines on my inner thigh like battle war paint.
You're mine now,
he whispers, increasing the pace of the shiv as it moves in and out of my body.
Your body is my territory, my sweet victory. Together, we'll rule the unhinged little killer.
Fuck, I breathe out, closing my eyes as my legs start to shake. Gray leans forward, capturing my clit in his mouth again as he assaults it with his tongue. My heart races as I feel myself rushing towards the edge again. My entire body trembles, my fingernails digging into his shoulders as I finally crash over the cliff, nothing stopping my cries of pleasure this time. He slows his movements with the shiv, not removing it yet as he waits for me to catch my breath. As he pulls it from my body, Gray runs his tongue up the handle, locking eyes with me.
Next time something is inside of you, it's going to be me.
Grabbing the backs of my knees, he applies pressure to them, making me fall. He catches me, arms snaked around my back tight as he presses his lips to mine. We lay in the aisle for several hours, kissing and talking, until I can barely keep my eyes open. Gray leads me back to my room, making sure to tuck the blankets in around me before locking the door behind him. As I fall asleep, I replay our library adventure over and over in my mind, wondering if this is perhaps the reckless behavior that Dr. Smith warned me about. And even though it's downright insane, I realize that I don't fucking care.
Chapter 21, Damon. That two-timing piece of shit. You would think that people would learn by now not to fuck with me, and yet he still hasn't learned not to cross me. I kick open the door, startling the two people inside. Get out! I sneer at the girl, watching as she scrambles to her feet in panic, running past me. I glance over, scoffing at the surprised expression on his face.
That was inappropriate, Damon.
My eyes narrow as I step closer, my mind seeing red as I resist the urge to wipe the smug look off his face. What the fuck did you do? I demand, kicking a chair out of the way. Christopher leans back in his office chair, smiling innocently.
What do you mean?
Don't play games with me, Christopher. I'm in no mood.
And what exactly are you going to do about it, Damon? You can't get me fired. Besides, you're not so innocent.
I straighten up, folding my arms. I never pretended to be innocent, cousin. I know exactly who I am, and I have no fucking problem with it. You, on the other hand, seem to be taking this facade too far. Stop pretending you give a shit about the patients here. Christopher sighs, kicking his legs up, the old version of him slowly starting to slip out.
Go on. Tell me what the problem is.
I clench my jaw. You purposefully gave Avery White the wrong key to the filing cabinet.
Ah. Oops.
Stomping over, I swipe the envelope opener from his desk, slamming it down on the wooden top, narrowly missing his pinky finger. He doesn't flinch, reaching for it and ripping it out of the wood.
Great. More incidental expenses to be paid out.
He remarks sarcastically, rubbing the broken hole. Why did you even give her the key in the first place? I ask, annoyed. He shrugs.
She doesn't deserve to be in your firing line. None of them do. Yet you treat everyone like they're your staff. You can't toy with people, Damon.
I can do whatever I want, Christopher, so back the fuck off! Christopher kicks his legs off the desk, standing up.
You're not so innocent, Damon. Besides, it's pretty obvious which files you wanted. Not to mention it was just some poor tactic to try to get control over me. It's not going to work, by the way.
You don't know what I wanted access for, I shoot back.
Really? Because besides the fact that I deliberately provided you with the fake key to see what you and your henchmen would do, you still managed to steal a file.
A file is missing. That's news to me. I sent Gray in last night to check the key, and when he reported back to me, all he said was he couldn't access the cabinet. There was nothing about being able to get hold of a file. And which file is that exactly? I ask, raising an eyebrow. He narrows his eyes at me.
You need to leave, Damon. I'm going to resume my session with my patient, and if you ever step foot into my office again without my consent, you'll regret it.
Hearing footsteps behind me, I spot four guards standing at the door watching our exchange. Laughing, I smirk at Christopher. Do you really think they are on your side, Christopher?
We can find out if you want.
He retorts, standing firm in his words. Mark my words, Christopher, don't fucking cross me again. I'll end you faster than you can see it coming. I turn, pushing past the guards, barging into them as I head off down the corridor. I'm absolutely fuming, ready to smash someone's skull into the hard wall. It doesn't take me long to hunt down Gray, finding him in his room, writing in a journal.
Hey, dead man.
He grins, spotting me as I enter. Did you or did you not take a file last night from Christopher's office? He blinks slowly, plopping the journal shut.
Is he saying I did?
He's saying he gave us the wrong key on purpose, but we still stole one. Gray stares off into the distance, a surprised look on his face.
He's very perceptive. 100 patients, but he notices a missing file straight away. I call bullshit. He's not that anal about things.
He could be if he was deliberately checking, which he knew we were going to try to break in.
And what file did we steal?
Gray asks, standing up and shoving his journal on his desk. He didn't say. The asshole called the guards on me. Gray turns quickly, looking at me wildly.
He called the guards on you? What a fucking idiot.
Christopher is smart, too smart. He needs to be reminded of his place.
I'm happy to make a house call.
Gray offers, cracking his knuckles. I shake my head. No, we're going to approach it differently. He'll be expecting us to come at him with guns blazing. I'm going to break him down, piece by fucking piece. By the time I'm finished with him, he'll need a place at Lilydale. My eyes spot Avery sitting at the table with that guy, the two of them eating quietly. I observe her for a few moments, watching as she smiles at him when he's not looking, her presence oddly comfortable with him. I don't know the relationship between them, but I don't like it. Even if she means nothing to me, she obviously means something to Gray, and that means keeping her away from people like Theo. Personally, I haven't had an issue with Theo up until this point. He's been the subject of a few public punishments, smashing people's faces in, but frankly, they probably had it coming. He doesn't appear to go out of his way to attack people unless they piss him off. I can respect that. What I can't respect is anyone who infringes on my territory. Gray is like a brother to me, a pivotal member of Cirque du Mor. Therefore, his business is my business. Anyone that fucks with Gray fucks with me. Bored of watching her annoying, fruitless glances and smiles, I walk over, slamming my hand down next to her food tray. Avery jumps, looking over in panic before her face relaxes slightly at the sight of me. I don't like that one little bit. The fact she is less terrified of me than another random patient is inexcusable. I need to speak to you now. I snap at her, watching as Theo raises his head, Avery's eyebrows furrow in confusion, but she slowly stands up, following me out of the room. At least they both have some common sense. He kept to himself, and she followed without question. There might be hope for her yet. I shoo away the guards from the library door, pulling her inside by her elbow. She tugs her arm out of my grip, hugging herself.
Stop grabbing me. I was already following you.
Not quick enough. What did Christopher say to you yesterday? She gives me a look of confusion before realization dawns on her.
Do you mean Dr. Smith?
I nod, annoyed. Obviously.
This is about the damn key again. Look, I got you the key. Can't we just leave it at that?
I laugh, stepping towards her. She steps back, the two of us continuing this dance until her back hits the metal shelf. I rest my arm next to her head, caging her in. Leaning down, I give her a sinister smile. No, Avery, we can't just leave it, because the key you gave me was fake. I already know that the key was fake, but she doesn't know that I know. I want to see her reaction when she finds out she failed. Not disappointing me, her mouth drops in shock, face twisting in horror.
I didn't know.
Maybe you switched them, I suggest. You were very much against the idea from the start. Avery's eyes snap to mine, and she has the nerve to look offended.
Are you fucking kidding me? Yeah, I was against the idea, so why would I stupidly give you a fake-ass key? That's a death sentence.
Agreed, I hiss dangerously. So, what did he say to you? She clenches her lips, realizing I've boxed her into a hole, and she knows if she's not careful, that hole will become her grave.
He just gave it to me. He handed it over, okay? I didn't steal it. He offered it to me because he knew I wanted it.
I let out a dry laugh, pushing the limits. And why would a professional just hand over something like that? Are you fucking him, Avery? Smack. My head whips to the side slightly as her palm connects with my cheek. I laugh, turning to look at her. She appears absolutely stunned, like she can't believe she just did that. And honestly, I'm impressed she had the fucking nerve to as well.
Oh my God, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
Grabbing her wrists, I slam her arms against the metal bookshelf, holding her firm. She doesn't fight me, tears welling in her gray eyes. Let me be clear again, Avery. I'm not to be messed with. And that goes for those closest to me as well. I can see the recognition in her eyes, the smart little cookie easily realizing I'm talking about Gray. I'm not done with you yet, I say to her with a warning. So watch yourself, Avery, because I'm the big bad wolf you should be afraid of here. Letting her go, I turn and walk out of the library, hearing her shaky breaths before the doors slam shut behind me.
Chapter 22, Avery. We're focusing on history today, Charmaine tells the class, motioning to the textbooks on the desk. I grumble, opening the front of the book wearily. I can't say I'm looking forward to the lesson, but it's better than being cornered by Demon. Yeah, that's what he is, a fucking demon. Damon is pure evil, and despite doing my best to keep everyone happy, it's still not enough. I knew I couldn't trust Dr. Smith. He crossed all of us, leaving me in the firing line. I have another appointment with him tomorrow, and I'm trying to think of ways to get out of it. I'm probably just going to spend the session ignoring him in dead silence or yell at him.
Psst.
Gazing over at Gray, he gives me a wink, handing me a note. I smile stupidly, reaching to grab it when Charmaine's back is turned. Peeling open the scrunched-up white paper, I recognize his handwriting scrawled on it.
Library. Free time?
Quickly pocketing the note inside my bra like the normal female I am, I give him a nod. Gray grins at me, blowing me a kiss. I have to force myself to look away so no one can see the stupid way my cheeks flush. Every time he looks at me, my stomach does this weird flippy thing. I can't explain the feeling. It's like he makes me feel alive. When I came to Lilydale, I thought my life was over. I felt dead inside, wishing I could just end it all. Despite Mr. Whittingham trying to convince me to give the place a chance, I didn't believe for one second I'd find happiness here. But I think I have. Even though this place is fucked up, not to mention the clusterfuck that is Cirque des Moors, I'm starting to see the silver lining. Maybe there's hope for me after all. I've never really given myself the opportunity to think that. I never wanted to allow my heart to believe I could be saved or have a normal life. I mean, I wouldn't call this a normal life. But what is normal anyway? It's just a setting on a washing machine. At the end of the day, I should be allowed to be happy, and I think I am. Or at least, little parts of me are starting to glow. The rest of the class drags on, my brain nearly yeeting itself out of my body from boredom. But finally, the guards arrive to escort us to the hall for free time. As we move out of our chairs and head to the door, Gray's hand brushes over my back, the touch electrifying me. God fucking damn it. Is this what normal people feel? The guards lead us towards the hall, and my heart starts to race, wondering what Gray has planned. Is he wanting to have sex? I would have thought it would be during the nighttime, when we know for certain we won't be interrupted. Am I really ready to lose my V-card willingly, in a dusty-ass library where anyone could walk in and catch us? I truly don't know. But I know whatever I decide, I'm safe, and Gray will look after me. As we approach the hall, there's massive congestion as the crowd lingers outside the doors, staring inside. I stand on my tippy toes, trying to see over the heads of people. What's going on? I ask Gray, frowning.
No idea,
he says, scanning the people.
I'll go look.
He pushes through the crowd, people parting for him. I try to follow, but the crowd returns back to their positions, blocking me. Slowly, people start entering the hall, feet shuffling on the ground. When I reach the doors, I catch a glimpse of the inside, noticing paper all over the floor, pieces pinned to the walls, and some on the tables. Amazingly, the path in front of me opens up, allowing me to walk inside as people step to the side. Glancing around the hall, the crowd of gray-clothed people are holding pieces of paper, reading the contents. Some look up at me, observing me as I approach. I spot Gray at the other end of the hall with Damon, the two of them muttering to themselves quietly, holding bundles of paper in their hands. Curiosity gets the better of me, and I lean down, grabbing a piece of paper from the ground. It's fairly faded, like it's been printed on the world's worst printer. But the words are unmistakable. It's me. My name is plastered on the top of the paper. As I scan the contents quickly, it dawns on me what I'm reading. Leaning down, I scoop up more pieces, hoping that this is just a nightmare. But when I check the others, it's all from the same document. It's my fucking patient file. Standing up slowly, I look around. Panic and dread fill me as I notice people reading my personal file. My eyes fill up with tears as I read the piece in my hand, telling myself that maybe it's a fake file and it's not actually about me. It's just a prank. It has to be just a prank. Avery Elizabeth White, born 03-1903, age 20. Parents, Joshua White and Elizabeth White, both deceased. Charges, murder in the second degree, later downgraded to involuntary manslaughter. Conviction, involuntary manslaughter, sentenced to prison but received an offer for Lilydale Foundation Center. Ms. White was found to have met the prerequisites for entry to Lilydale due to her mental health and background. Details of her childhood included significant physical, mental, and emotional abuse by parental figures, as well as having been found to be assaulted by family associates, resulting in significant permanent injury. Further details of financial abuse and negligence mitigated her sentencing. Her charge was brought on by a fire in her house, which she shared with her father. Mr. White was found deceased at the scene while Ms. White was recovered by rescue personnel. An investigation into the fire resulted in finding Ms. White guilty of arson. However, Ms. White's attorney, Mr. Jeremy Gardson, put forth evidence which was substantiated by hospital staff that found that Ms. White was not aware that her father was home when she began the fire. Ms. White had intended to commit suicide inside the house by starting the fire. The fire was started in the downstairs living room. Subsequent assessments conducted by hospital psychiatrists found that Ms. White was suffering from borderline personality disorder, which directly related to the abuse and trauma she suffered. However, when Ms. White was informed of her father's deceased status, she appeared to show no remorse, even though she had not intended for him to be harmed in the fire. Witness reports collaborated that Mr. White was out at a tavern the night of a fire, which he regularly frequented, however, had to leave early due to unknown reasons. Therefore, the jury found that Ms. White had not intended to kill her father, as she had no reason to believe he was home due to the placement of her bedroom upstairs. Mr. White's body was recovered downstairs in the basement once the fire had been subdued. Ms. White suffered smoke inhalation damage and burns to her arm. However, the extent of her injuries appeared to be cognitive. Further physical examinations were conducted before her release to Lilydale, which showed scars to her back from an injury several months prior. Ms. White informed hospital staff she was attacked by her father, which required medical attention. Additional injuries and assault include sexual assault, lacerations, bruising, broken bones, dehydration, starvation, and mutilation. I can't read anymore, the paper slipping from my hands as they shake. I glance up, noticing everyone staring at me in silence. It's like the entire gin pop is here, staring at me in either disgust or pity. My eyes find Gray's across the room, his stormy orbs watching me with concern. My gaze shifts to Damon's, his face blank as he watches me. I spot the paper in his hands again, realization that he knows everything about me, every single dark little secret that I had tried so hard to forget. Now everyone knew. Tears slip down my cheeks despite my best efforts to hold them in, my face twisting in agony as I stare at them across the room. Was this the file they wanted all along? Had they orchestrated for me to steal my own file for their twisted pleasure? My feet are planted to the floor, bolted down like all the furniture in this place. I can't move, the room spinning. I'm fairly sure I've forgotten how to breathe. but as my world spirals down around me, I can't figure out how to stop it.
Come on,
someone says in a distorted voice, pulling my elbow. I stumble, letting them pull me as everything swims around me like I'm having an out-of-body experience. We push through the crowd of people, my body dragged down the hallway. When we're finally away from everyone, I stop, making them halt. Falling against the wall, I burst into tears, sinking to the ground. I cover my face as I bring my knees to my chest, my body shaking with sobs.
Avery,
Theo says, leaning down in front of me.
Come with me.
It finally dawns on me who pulled me out of the hall, and I drop my hands to look at him. Just leave me alone, Theo, I snap. He rolls his eyes unfazed.
Get up. I'm taking you to somewhere more private. We need to move now before they come looking.
Theo reaches under my arms, yanking me to my feet. Leaning in, I stop crying because of his close proximity, too dazed and confronted.
You can either walk or I'm throwing you over my shoulder.
Fine, I grumble, kicking off from the wall and pushing myself into him. He steps back, following me as I take off down the corridor. I have no idea where I'm going. We've passed the room where we tattooed ourselves and passed the exit to the courtyard. Anywhere else up ahead is blocked off by access pads and is out of bounds for patients. Before I can pause to ask him where the fuck we are meant to be going, he walks over to a door at the end of the corridor, pulling back his fist to punch the access pad. He slams into it, the plastic breaking and crumbling to the ground along with wires and bits of other tech. My mouth opens in disbelief, but he grabs the handle, the door opening.
This way,
he directs, and I notice a stairwell inside. I duck inside, watching as he closes the door behind us. He motions to the set of stairs that go down, our feet echoing on the concrete as we descend. It gets colder the further we go, and I know for certain we're out of bounds now, waiting for guards to come chasing after us any second. When we reach the bottom of the stairwell, there's another corridor, the dark shadows of our bodies on the wall. There's barely any lights down here, my body shaking from the cold, or the trauma of what just happened. Theo walks ahead of me and I quickly keep up, not keen to be left behind. We follow the corridor, the path twisting and winding as we pass multiple locked doors. He seems to know where he's going, an unsettling thought since no one is meant to be down here. Finally, he stops in front of a large metal door, his fingers brushing over the access pad that's already broken.
They haven't fixed it yet,
he muses, pushing open the door. Did you break it? I ask, putting the pieces together in my mind as I step inside the pitch-black room. This place is supposed to be Fort Knox. I accepted the fact that people like Damon and Gray had their ways around, but the fact that random people just need to smash things to get into secluded areas is concerning.
Of course I did. This is where I come for peace and quiet.
He flicks on the lights, my stomach twisting as I look around. I now realize why it's so cold. The entire room made from metal. I've only ever seen these rooms in movies, but they all look exactly the same. Theo pulls open a metal cabinet door, grabbing a sliding bed from inside the metal box. He sits down on it, smirking at me.
Are you afraid of the dead, Avery? Chapter 23, Theo. Avery's eyes dart around the room. The frustration and pain from earlier slowly vanishing temporarily as she becomes grossly aware of her surroundings. Her lips part slightly as horror crosses her face.
We are in a morgue!
She yells, jumping away from the mortuary cabinet that I'm sitting on. Obviously. I snarl, rolling my eyes. Did you think it was the kitchen? She looks around wildly.
Are there dead bodies in here?
Should we find out? I taunt. When her face nearly turns green, I decide to put her out of her misery. There's no dead bodies in here. It's empty. Avery relaxes a little, but not completely. She gives a tiny nod, hugging herself. Slowly, I can see the distraction leaving, everything coming back into her mind. I wait for her to speak, not keen to push it.
Everyone knows. They know everything about me now. That shit was meant to be private.
She looks ready to break down crying, and frankly, I can't handle that. I'm not a here, cry on my shoulder type of person. Standing up, I walk over, giving her a little shake by the shoulders. Avery looks at me bewildered, like I have the audacity to touch her right now. Right. What is she going to do? Yell at me? Please. Avery, every single person here has some type of history. Your personal shit shouldn't have been leaked, but no one here is innocent. Everyone has a reason for being here, many of whom are far worse than you.
Did you read it?
She asks wearily, looking away. Yeah, I answer quickly. There's no point sugarcoating it. I'm not a donut here to please anyone. It seemed pretty tame to me. Avery glances at me, uncertainty in her eyes. It's easy to tell that she thinks she's the world's worst person. Given I've been here for nearly 3 years, I can, without a doubt, say that she's one of the nicest people to pass through Lilydale. I'm likely never getting out of here. But if she's as tough as I suspect she is under that fragile interior, she'll be one of the lucky ones who does. She just has to survive Lilydale first.
What did you do?
She questions with an air of hesitation. I laugh, sensing the desperate validation. I don't blame her for thinking my story is probably worlds apart from hers. She's right. I'm a monster compared to her. If you put us side by side, she's a fallen angel, and I'm a monster lurking in the shadows. Do you really want to know? I smirk, stepping towards her. She doesn't step back, not surprising me in the slightest. Like I said, she's tough, seeing people in a different light. Though she's wrong to trust me, she should be afraid of me, terrified of what I can do. Avery nods, locking eyes with me. We're barely inches apart, our bodies brushing against each other slightly. I killed a man, I tell her simply. And I'd do it again.
You had a reason. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here.
I shrug, not giving anything away. Maybe. But I enjoyed it, Avery. So while you feel broken that you accidentally killed someone, just remember that I relished in the fact I watched someone take their last breath.
I don't believe that.
She argues quietly.
I think there's more to you than you let on.
Shaking my head, I smile at her. No, don't try to paint me like I'm some fallen martyr, Avery. I'm exactly who everyone thinks I am, and if you were smart, you'd stay away. She surprises me when she steps in, closing the remaining distance between us.
I call bullshit, Theo. You're different with me, so there's a part of you that's not like that. You don't fool me.
My hand shoots up, clapping it over her mouth. Her eyes widen as she tries to mumble something at me, but I silence her, looking towards the door. Guards are coming. I mutter quietly. Shut up. Avery looks over at the door in panic, her face straining as she tries to listen. Slowly, we can hear footsteps approaching, and when the sound finally reaches her ears, she tenses up. Grabbing her hand, I drag her over to the tray from inside the mortuary cabinet. Lay down, I direct, pointing to the tray.
I'm not getting inside that thing.
She hisses at me. I roll my eyes, almost regretting the decision to drag her out of the hall. Well, I'm getting inside, so you can either stay out here and face the guards, or you can come with me. Climbing onto the tray, I lay down, my body stretching inside the cabinet. I rest my hand on the roof of the doorframe, getting ready to push myself inside. Avery realizes I'm serious, letting out a whimper before hastily running over to me.
What do I do?
She asks in a panic, grabbing the handle of another door. Fuck's sake. I mutter to myself, curling my arm around her waist and pulling her towards me. She lets out a yelp, body going limp as I lift her up, dragging her on top of me. At least she has the sense to move down, her body rubbing over mine as she gets into position. With her head buried into my chest, I push us inside, pulling the door closed. It's pitch black inside, the cabinet cold to preserve the rotting flesh of those who perish. I'm not entirely sure she's breathing at this point, Her body's as stiff as the last guy who was in here. Her face is snugly smashed into my chest as she has some silent meltdown. Outside the metal cabinet, I hear the morgue doors creak open, the sound of footsteps entering. Avery twitches when she hears the sound too, and I'm happy that she's still alive. The guards bang a few things, checking for us. I guess they are pretty stupid, because why wouldn't we be inside the cabinet? There are very few places to hide in the morgue. Though it's completely possible that the guards are just overpaid babysitters, terrified of potentially seeing a dead body. Someone approaches the metal, knocking on it.
"Hey, John, I'll pay you $50 to get inside this thing,"
a voice says, laughing. Avery starts shaking on top of me, her elbow dangerously close to banging the side as she jolts in panic. I wrap my arm around her body tightly, silently telling her to settle down. She relaxes against me a little bit, but not enough when the door next to ours is opened, the guard laughing as he peers inside.
"Get fucked," a reply says. "I'm not getting inside. You get inside."
"It's pretty cold in there,"
his friend remarks, slamming the door closed. I can't resist my eyes rolling at their stupidity. Of course it's cold, dumb and dumber. They laugh amongst themselves before I hear one of them speak again.
"Tell Whittingham the morgue is clear. We'll head down the next stairwell and check the north side of the underground passage."
Their footsteps retreat, but I don't move just in case. It becomes oddly quiet, and we wait a few minutes until the last of the sounds outside vanish completely.
"Fuck, that was close. I'm so cold."
"Don't you start," I grunt at her. She lifts her head in the dark, her warm breath blowing on my face.
"I'm just stating a fact, and in case you haven't noticed, I've had a bit of a shit day. Excuse me for having a normal human reaction and being absolutely shit scared of being in a death box."
I cut her off, doing the only thing I can think of to shut her up. I kiss her. Avery mumbles a few words against my lips before the shock briefly sets in. She pauses, but before I can pull back, she grabs my head, kissing me back. I didn't expect things to go in that direction, but I continue kissing her, my body reacting to her touch. Her warm body slides against me, and I feel my cock hardening underneath her. We need to stop before things get out of control. I won't admit it to her or anyone, but I do care about Avery. She reminds me so much of someone who used to be in my life. Her smile, her resilience, the audacity to push boundaries because she can. I knew it from the moment I first ran into her, when she yelled at me in the hall. It was a nice change to have a different reaction from people for once. Most of the patients here are sheep, so caught up in their own little world that they don't give a shit. But even though I know for a fact Avery was warned about me, she still defied everyone. Pushed as an outsider, she felt she had no choice but to cross dangerous borders. That's what makes her special. She's a fucking force of nature, begging to be let free. Far too good for this place, if you ask me. "Avery," I say, pulling back. "It's best if we stop."
"No,"
she argues back firmly, determination in her voice.
"I don't want to."
I groan in frustration, moving my hips to find a comfortable position. "Seriously, you're infuriating."
"I don't care. I just want to do what I want for once. I don't care if it's reckless."
Weird choice of words, but whatever. I put my hands on her hips, keeping her still. "You had a shit day. Don't do something you'll regret," I reply strongly.
"They took something from me. Now I'm taking back control by doing what I want."
Fucking hell. She's breaking me down inch by inch. I want nothing more than to feel her warm body against mine. She lifts herself up as much as the small space will allow, her small hand finding my hip. She slides it over my pants until she's pressing against my erection. Fuck. Maybe she's not a fallen angel after all. because she's tempting me like a snake with an apple. When she squeezes my cock through the light fabric, my resolve breaks. I snap, growling as I smash my lips back to hers, my hand running over her ass. Slipping my hand